Hey soccer friends, I just want to give a shout out to our partner, TeamPlayer. They are changing the game on how you find the perfect soccer team for your player. Parents, this means no more endless social media scrolling to find information on teams. With TeamPlayer, everything you need to know is just a few clicks away. It's simple, straightforward, and lets you find the best coach and team for your player without any of the usual headaches. And coaches, we all know how tough it can be to get your team noticed, but when you subscribe to one of TeamPlayer's team plans, you instantly get access to set up an online team profile that allows you to reach more potential players and showcase what your team is all about. It's super easy and lets players and parents see why your team could be the right fit for them. And if you sign up using the promo code PITCH, you can try any team plan free for 1 month. So whether you're managing a team or searching for one, come on over to www.teamplayer.us. That is TeamPlayer.us. And come give TeamPlayer a look. Family-owned Soccer Innovation is your go-to source for top-quality equipment. Whether you're a player, a supportive family member, or a dedicated coach, they have everything you need to elevate your game. For players, their innovative equipment are designed to boost your skills and performance on the pitch. From their agility cones to their portable goals, they have you covered. And family members, they offer durable equipment that's built to last because we know your support is critical to your player. Coaches, trust me, they can provide the equipment you need to run effective training sessions and shape the next generation of soccer players. Visit Soccer Innovations at soccerinnovations.com to start elevating your game with them. And if you use the code PITCH, P-I-T-C-H, you can receive up to 10% off your next order. Hello and welcome back to Chat by the Pitch. This is Ian Babcock, your host. This week I have Coach Alex, the founder of North Texas Aztec Elite Goalkeeper Training. This man is trying to disrupt goalkeeping training, and I think he's doing a good job. I think he is trying to make a positive impact in the community the best way he knows how. And his approach to it is much different than a lot of the keeper training out there. And give him a shot if you have a chance to. I think he might be worth your time. Our conversations we've had before this interview, after this interview has been great. He's on a great path going forward. And I'm not going to let him do all of the talking because I think he does it better than I can give him justice. So let's start this chat and head to the pitch.
I started playing goalkeeper when I was, 10, 12 years old. But really started playing when I was 12. 10, I just saw a ball and I would go with it and dive here and there. It wasn't until I was really 12 when I did it. And by the way, Coach Alex Lozano, you have to mention my name there. And the reason I didn't play any other position, I was a heavy set boy. I was fat. No, I wanted to be a forward because I'm tall. I'm 6'2", 225. Back then, I was really chunky and fat. So I got made fun of a lot when I was young. It wasn't my childhood wasn't a pleasant experience for playing sports. I always got picked last. And it came to a point where I would go to school and basically we're out there, recess comes along. And again, this is me just acting to think just to get picked. And they're like, well, there's no more space for anything else. We got every position covered. You know, the other team has a goalkeeper, but we don't have one. You want to try that? I was like, this is going to suck. I hate this. So I'm like, yeah, I want to play. I want to be part of something. So there I am, recess. Again, you know, Texas is hot, right? 90-degree, 100-degree weather. You know, I'm out there sweating, no gloves, because obviously I know nothing yet of that. And over there with uniform, back then you had to use uniform. I think they still do. And this is all happening in Garland because I'm living in Garland. This had to be usually games will last a little bit over an hour because that's how much recess you'll get, 45 minutes or something like that. And I got into the goalposts, and naturally, I got a big shot, I guess. Whatever, kid, this is, and I remember this clearly. It was a nice shot and whatever. And me being a hefty pounded guy, I dove at it. And to the amazement of everybody, they were just like amazed. They're like, wow, that was a really good stop, you know? And again, you're talking a big guy diving across the goal from one side to the other, which is quickness. So that right there started a whole domino effect. I started out on my own looking to get better at goalkeeping. I would look up photos, magazines. Back then, I guess video wasn't, YouTube doesn't start till like in 09, I think. So the only thing I could really look at was Mexican soccer on TV. And that's where the love started for the position. I started looking at goalkeepers, any kind, any type, and Spanish television. So little by little, I started doing whatever they did, copying all their moves. Anything that I saw on TV, I said, there has to be a way for me to learn this. Again, you're talking to a kid that doesn't have a coach, doesn't know that there's organized sports. So I'm out there copying these moves and finding ways to learn by myself how to get better. So the years passed, all that. I end up playing rec. I'm still fat by that time. And I joined rec and I sat on the bench. The team that I joined already had a keeper. Well, that keeper was the coach's son. So we're already losing. If I remember one of the games, because I don't, it's vague now, vaguely in my brain now, we're losing 5-0 at halftime. And I sat the bench the whole time. Well, before halftime's over, the kid dives across and breaks his hand, his own son. So I take over the second half and we tie the game 5-5, me having just numerous saves and keeping the team from losing. Basically, we won because I did not allow a single goal the second half. And the other team is just doesn't understand how a chunky, I'm big, I'm tall, I'm not gonna lie. But by the time I was playing organized sports, I was a pretty big kid by some standards. And that helped me out a lot, my height. But being agile and being big, that's kind of hard to find nowadays. And back then, I was killing it. And we fast forward to middle past middle school. There was not really any soccer back then. Middle schools didn't have that, so it was really just backyard ball, as we would call it. And by the time I reached high school, I played my freshman, sophomore, and junior year. Senior year, didn't play. I got kicked off the team because I got into it with the starting goalkeeper. I believe I was the better keeper. That didn't end well with the coach because I called him out and thought he was the favorite, and that's how I got kicked out of it. But the years freshman, sophomore, and my freshman, sophomore, and junior years, I lost a ton of the weight. I actually am on my high school weight now. I'm 6'2", 225. The highest weight I ever was at was over 345 pounds. That was really bad for a while. And that was back in 2019. So now that I'm in the target weight, yeah, has helped me maintain my physical appearance a lot better than what it used to be. And over the time, my senior year came, and by this time, I'm no longer in soccer. There's a guy named Steve Rodriguez. Steve runs Solar right now, but back in the day, he used to run a club called Aztecs. This is kind of how the background to Aztec starts for me. So when that happened, he found me just training what is now O'Banion Middle School, which is actually where I hold my trainings at for goalkeepers. And he just saw me training by myself. And he had four goalkeepers that, were running on, off and about, just doing whatever they wanted because he didn't have a goalkeeper trainer. And he, for a while they were getting water, would just stare and look at what I was doing by myself, my own cones, my own little drills here, just me by myself doing my own. And when that happened, he just came up to me and said, "Hey, man, how much would it take for you to coach my goalkeepers?" I looked at him like, "What? How much would it take for you to come coach my goalkeeper? I don't have a goalkeeper coach. And you're young. It looks like you're still in high school, right? Yeah, still. If you're free after, well, yeah, I'm free because I'm not playing for my high school, right? I got kicked out. Look, man, I'll pay you. How much do you want to be paid?" I'm a high school guy. I actually didn't really care for money because I had a part-time job here and there. I helped my dad cut yards here and there, so money wasn't such an issue for me. I told him, "You can give me $100 a month. How many times can you come a week?" Back then, he says, "Hey, can you come 2 times a week?" Yeah, I'll be here. Yeah, 2 times a week. Yeah, I'm done. Yeah, you can start right now. Take these girls because they're not doing anything." And that's where it all started with him. I stayed with Lady Aztecs for a good solid 2012 all the way to, I would say, 2014. So that's really where I started. I never did, I had offers, but my grades always sucked. So I never did any college. I could have, but again, I was hard-headed. I should have been disciplined in what I now teach my goalkeepers to be, and I wasn't. I squandered away the opportunities. But doing goalkeeping drills, and now by this time, once high school hit, you had YouTube and so many sources just became available. Once the internet opened up, I started being a bookworm, as you would call it, but for goalkeeping. To this time, to this day, I still do it. I don't go to sleep till 1 or 2 a.m. just looking at goalkeeper videos, training videos, just gathering knowledge as to what to teach my goalkeepers next. And that's really what has made me, I believe, even without, because I don't hold any diplomas or anything that's going to say that I am a goalkeeper coach, and that makes me want to learn more because I don't have that. And eventually I will. It's just that those things cost money and that's going to take time. But while that being said, that's not an excuse for me not to continue learning from those that do have those things and are professionals in their field. So I might not always agree with the way they do it, but there's always ways I can teach it my way and still get the point across. But that's
Love it.
just
Thank you.
the beginning of how I begin my little journey in goalkeeping. It's not the best way to have started, but it has it the way it has it now.
Who was it? I can't remember what coach told me. It doesn't matter. The licensing doesn't make you a coach. It's tested trial through fire that makes you a good coach. It is. And the licensing just gives you parent status happiness. It doesn't count for anything other than that. There are things
Yes.
that you'll learn in licensing that are useful, but it doesn't mean you can't coach. There's some great coaches. There are some great people that have their licensing, but doesn't mean they're good coaches. And I'm like, valid point. But
Yeah.
I'm a person that believes proof is in the pudding. Many coaches that are goalkeeping coaches, a lot of them don't have their licensing done unless they play for, unless they coach for a big club. So
Right.
just my opinion here as a nobody.
Hey, listen, I see it and it's there. I mean, the position is a very monetized position right now in North Texas. And the way my Aztecs goalkeeping came about was after Lady Aztecs folded, because it did fold, eventually Steve went out and became Solar, and a bunch of the girls pretty much they grew out because they were 2000s, 99s, 98s. These girls grew, they got older. So the team folded, they went different ways, disagreements here and there, just typical stuff. Then I was left alone. There was no source of money coming in, which is a measly $100. It wasn't nothing. I never meant to make it to make money off of it. And to this day, I have it the same way. There's no money made out of it, nothing at all. And I started doing some research into the position itself in North Texas, and it came about different programs that are out there. One being Matt Montaigne, great guy, by the way. I've had the pleasure of talking here and there and sent some messages. There's another program called the Goalkeeper U. There's another one that's TCS Goalkeeping, led by Coach Cooney, and a couple other ones as well. My problem is not really what's being taught. My problem is not personal either. My issue is the fact that I see the business model behind it, but I also see the fact that you also have to understand that a lot of these goalkeepers are already paying dues with their clubs. Not everybody can be on a scholarship. So these monthly dues that you charge these goalkeepers, I feel they're a bit outrageous. So that's always been my thing. I believe also for what someone's for something that's being taught in their program, some seems just not to the standard that you would say you would pay money for. Some of the trainings that I see on their videos, I don't publicly criticize it because it's not my that's not what I'm here to do. I'm not going to shame you on your own videos or anything like that, but I do see them. I watch everything. I have an eye on everything. And I feel that for what is worth, it's not worth it. You know, my personal opinion is my program is free and it pushes goalkeepers more than their programs. You know, I think just right up there with some of the stuff that people want to pay for, but can't find a goalkeeper coach that has that same mentality. So that's my only issue is basically the amount of money you're paying for something, but you're not getting that investment. You know, it's like going to the dealership. And when you go to Hyundai, you know what you're going to get for what you're trying to bring money to. You're going to get a Hyundai. You go to Mercedes, you expect a Mercedes product. When you go to Honda, you expect something that's going to last you. Mercedes, you go for basically the luxury, the status behind it. Hyundai, you're basically just wanting a car that's going to at least go 100,000 miles before you trade it in. And I put myself, and honestly, I think I'm a Lexus between all of that. You know, you get the brand name behind Toyota that makes it, and you get Lexus, which is luxury. So you get the reliability and you get the luxury of the vehicle itself. You get the luxury of the training with the reliability that it's gonna outlast the remainder of their career, goalkeeper career. And I feel these others, I think, could do so much better, especially since they're getting paid to teach your child the position. So I think that's where my issue is. And I think that's where the disagreements start as to why I'm different than paying for it and not paying for it, you know?
I get what you're saying. Do you think that's because you spent your youth self-training? I mean, psychologically speaking, I'm not trying to get philosophical here or anything, but.
I think it's because when I was younger, I didn't have the opportunity to train with goalkeeper coaches because once I got out of the situation where I didn't know who to go to, when I did go to those people and I did try to psychologically, and I'll be honest, it did affect me. They turned me down. They said, I'm sorry, you don't have any money. I can't coach you. This was just a trial hour. That's it. Back then, that's basically what it was said to me. It was just a trial hour. Once you sign these paperworks and you get your money together, we can set up an account, you deposit, and you can come to train with us. Back then, I didn't have so much of the knowledge to say what I can say now. If I could, if my older self that is right now could teleport to that point in time, I would totally tell that coach to go F off. Yeah, you know what I mean? Straight up, I'm like, yeah, thank you, but no, thank you. So that has built my full trust in what I'm teaching because I know what it was to be that goalkeeper that couldn't afford to be trained by. I know how it feels to not have the tools to be a better goalkeeper because you didn't have someone to do that. And because now I've become that coach where I bring in the goalkeepers, like, hey, coach, you know, how much you charge for your training? I don't charge a single dime. All I ask for you is to have commitment and discipline. That is the number one thing that I teach my goalkeepers is to have is discipline and commitment. Make sure that right here, where you're going to come to me, there is no pat in the back coaching. I have a big issue with that when it comes to goalkeepers. Good job. After the ball literally bounced like 50 feet out the other way, and that's now a second chance shot. Or goalkeepers that have no confidence in themselves, but they went to a goalkeeper camp that literally took 300 or whatever allowance or whatever money from their parents, and they still do the same. They still have the same problems, you know? And again, it's a camp. I get it. It's just for you to go to. But if you've been to several camps and you've spent hundreds of dollars, why is it still the same issue that you're having, right? At what point, where do you blame the child or do you blame the goalkeeper coach? And it's kind of hard to do that because you're paying the goalkeeper coach. You know what I mean? And the goalkeeper coach is not going to say certain things to that goalkeeper because that's their source of income. Like, there's certain things you don't say to that goalkeeper if you want that money to come back. My opinion, right? And obviously, some of these for-profit goalkeeper coaches are going to disagree with what I just said, but I'm sorry, but those are the facts. If I have a steady income coming, why am I really going to hammer at the goalkeeper? But because I'm free, 100% free, I don't charge a single dime, I can be that coach. I can tell you, hey, I'm sorry, you suck. And you're like, well, you're just criticizing me. No, you know why you suck? Because your arm is not coming across this way. You're not holding the ball this way. You're not releasing the ball in this situation. That's my style of coaching. I literally just told you you did something terrible, but I'm going to sit there and tell you, this is how we fix it. Don't do it again. Let's make sure this doesn't happen again. I think my style of coaching is literally changing the goalkeepers in North Texas as of right now. And that's the reason why I'm growing from where I started in 2012 all the way to 2024.
How do I phrase this? Because mm-hmm. you are, I call it conscious critical, might be the better way of putting it. Yeah. You're conscious in the moment of how to help the player adjust body movements to help them adjust whatever they're doing in proper form, to be proper form. But when they finally get it down, do you encourage them to continue that form, or yes, is it, let's move on to the next phase now?
Yes, sir. No, I do exactly that. However, I don't dwell on it. As soon as they got that down, I teach the next thing. I'm like, well, you got this down. All right. So when this situation comes, now you have to do this thing. And they're going to be confused. And they actually ask and go, you just told me to do it this way. I know. But guess what? When this situation happens, now we have to do this, what we're doing this right now. It's not always going to be something that's going to happen. Most of the time you're doing this, which is correct. But now we have to be able to know when to adjust to do this other thing. And that's where I kind of confuse my goalkeepers a lot. I'm not going to lie to you. I'm a visual learner. So my goalkeepers do struggle when they first come to me from the first training to the second. So that's the reason why most goalkeepers are, even though they're advanced or intermediate, they quit by the second training. They don't allow it to build them. They don't allow themselves to mess up. Now, I'll be honest, in my trainings, you mess up, I get you for it. As an example, player got up too slow, ball went in. I go up to them, hey, what are we doing? Why are we slow? That ball just went in because we were not up fast enough to get that. I need you to stand up and be faster than what you are right now. Can we do that? Can you adjust yourself to be ready for this ball the next time I shoot it at you? And their faces of the goalkeepers are like, what? I'm asking you this question again. I need you to answer me. You can't be deer in the headlights. If you're doing that, imagine when you're in the real game, you're in a tournament. Is that really how you can act? Because I'm not going to be there. No, coach, you're right. I need to get up. Well, I need you to get up faster. Don't do this again. And guess what happens? Does it happen again? Yes, it happens again. But here's the thing. They tried a lot harder and they attempted to make a save where they needed to be. They got up faster. They attempted to do what I asked them to do. The problem is in any other goalkeeper training program or camp, coach, the coaching that I've seen doesn't show that. Or maybe I'm wrong. Maybe it does show it. They just don't show it on camera. But they just let the drill be done, and that's it. If it messes up, they go to the next kid. And they go to the next kid. Because they're on a time schedule. It's 2-hour camp or an hour and a half camp. I got to make sure I do all the drills and all the showy stuff that I promise to do by a certain time so they can all go home happy and perceive that there was training shown. I'm sorry if this hurts the feelings of certain programs. I'm not going to name them again because it's just going to cause issues, but that's really how it feels. And that's the reason that I do it the way I do. I'm yes. People will say you're showboating. Yes. Goalkeeping is all about showboating. What do you think? It's not. What do you think? How do you think Neuer got into where he's at? Manuel Neuer, he showed with his feet. He has excellent footwork. You know, you got Donnarumma, Gianluigi Donnarumma, which is an Italian goalkeeper. He's like 22 years old. He's 6'6", 6'7". His dives are flashy because he knows right now his youth. He can show that. He's trying to get to the next level, so he wants a bigger club to sign him. So he has to do that. Will he always be that way? No. You're going to end up like Buffon. Age 45, last year he retired. He didn't have that anymore. He knew his time was up. He wasn't as flashy anymore. He just kept a low profile and kept playing. So, in all honesty, I think that's the reason why my goalkeepers do so much better now with me than where they were before. Because I always ask these questions. I ask the parents questions like this because I want the truth. Hey, what did the other goalkeeper coach do better than me or didn't do as well as me?
I think you're onto something missing in our culture. In North Texas, in the United States, it's very, I call it a very soft culture. I feel like we're losing. I look at the U.S. women's national team as an example, because, and they're riding the coattail for the last of the last 30 years of soccer, thinking they're entitled to wins when the work isn't being shown.
Yeah.
It may be putting in on their own time, but they think they're entitled to the World Cups, the wins, and not getting knocked out early. And you watch their antics when they tie a game. I think Carly Lloyd had it really right on her comment after that match. Like, you're celebrating a tie. Like, you just won the World Cup. You should be devastated because of the country it was. And I think if we want to have that competitive edge, you kind of have to have players that are used to not.
I have a zero tolerance for excuses, is what I tell my goalkeepers. I have zero tolerance for it. And my parents will 100% tell you this in front of you and anyone, that Coach Alex has zero tolerance for it. That's one of the things that scares a lot of the goalkeepers from coming to me. That's a lot of the reason why a lot of goalkeeper coaches see it more as arrogance. And I'm like, no, there is no arrogance behind it, because I used to be that player. I used to be that keeper where I made excuses for my mess ups when I played goalkeeper, and it got me nowhere. All it did was hinder my development. And if we go back to the entitlement, it all starts from, you know, where they started from. So I believe if there's a lot of pat in the back approach made to some of these goalkeepers when they go to these for-profit training sessions, because I see a lot of that in some of the videos. Great job. And I'm like, what do you mean great job? The ball went past her hand. Are you saying great job because she dove at it? Well, guess what? The ball still went in. It's awesome that she can dive, but the ball does not need to be going in. Coaches are not going to like that. Oh, and some of them, oh, it's training. Yeah, you want to train so it doesn't happen in the game. Letting the ball go in certain situations is not okay. You know, you got to attempt to go in there and say, hey, what you just did right here, let's not do this again. Let's follow the system right here where we grab the ball this certain way and make sure the ball doesn't go in. That also adds on to that goalkeeper, because if there's no constructive criticism at this age right now, then you end up with goalkeepers that get bad habits. I have a couple of goalkeepers in my training program that are advanced that came with bad habits from going to some of these goalkeeper camps that some goalkeeper coaches have. And again, we all have different ways. I understand that not every goalkeeper coach is going to coach the way I do. I don't want to get the wrong idea that my way is the only way that should be taught to a goalkeeper. 100% not true. I do believe that every goalkeeper has a certain style of play. If that goalkeeper coach fits that style of play, that's fine. But that doesn't give you freedom not to be hard on that goalkeeper coach and not telling him the hard truth that some of the things he's doing is incorrect, for the fear that that goalkeeper coach is not going to come back to you and pay you to train him, and is going to go to another goalkeeper coach that will pat him in the back and tell him, great job, son. Keep doing what you're doing. Small mess up. But guess what? We all mess up. That right there is killing our goalkeepers in North Texas. That talk right there that goalkeeper coaches are having, that because I'm not having that. You mess up. I'm letting you know, bro, by you making that mistake, put your team in a position where now they have to score two goals or three goals. The mistakes will kill you. And not now, maybe, and possibly for a while. But when it does happen, it's going to hurt you. So I think that is the biggest thing that goalkeeper coaches are forgetting to do, all for the sake of, let's just be honest, money, that there are certain things you don't say because the fear of what that goalkeeper is going to tell his parents. And obviously, as I told you, there's so many options where to go. They're just going to find someone else to go to, you know?
How do I describe it? I think there's depending on the age, I think this is all age driven. I think how you talk to a U10 player, U11 player and younger versus a U12, U13, U14 is one way, and then 14 on up I think that the conversation is different. I think this is where our society handles all players more like a U13 and under player,
And you know what I
14.
did to change that?
And
Sorry to cut you off, but you know what
no,
I
you're
did to
good.
change that? Because I know you, I would hear this from somebody like you or anyone else. Because I coach goalkeepers from U10 all the way to U17 right now. I used to have an 18-year-old, but he's no longer with me. He ended up moving on. But from U10 right now to U17, I treat, whether they are girls or boys, I treat them all the same. I have no favorites in my program. I do like some the way they play and this and that, but I tell them, if my girl over here that's U10 messed up and she hasn't fixed what she's doing, that's 10 push-ups for you. My boy over here that's advanced, high level, he did the same mistake or did a mistake, that's 10 push-ups to you. I make them equals because I want them to understand, hey, we're all here to learn. We all mess up. Just because she's a girl or just because he's better than you are, doesn't mean he's not going to do the same level of work. You both mess up, y'all both get to do the same thing.
I'm not saying that part. I think it's the tone
Oh,
behind it.
okay. All right.
It's all how you phrase and word things to different age groups. When you're
Ah,
talking to
okay.
a pompous ass 14-year-old, 16-year-old, 17-year-old, 18-year-old kid, you can talk a certain way to them. When you're talking to a when you talk to a what's the age, like 10-year-old, you can't talk to them the same way. And I think what's happening is that it's not the consequence for not doing the job, it's the tone being used. And as you like, I'll use my son for an example. If a coach, if his current coach talked to him the way he does when he was 8, I don't think he would survive the game. But now he understands and has had progressed to that point of being talked to more like a older soccer player. He can handle the yelling, or I shouldn't say even yelling, it's the tone of the conversation. It's more of a harsher tone than a more of a softer tone. The outcome of the problem, or whatever the I want to call it, what's the word I'm looking for? The deal is, I would call it more along the lines, like doing push-ups, if you make X, Y, and Z mistake, is the same across the board. I get that. It's how you verbalize the conversation. I think the problem is that everyone wants us to be talking to like we're talking to a bunch of a bunch of 8-year-olds, not 17-year-olds. And I think that's the problem, is that they get these little kiddie gloves on and they never take them off. And you
Overall,
have,
the yeah, go ahead.
I think that's part of our problem. It's not just here in North Texas, it's the society here in the United States.
Yeah.
But we come from this state of Texas where hazing and all that stuff was such a common thing in American football. When you move over to the rest of the world football, and all
Yeah.
of a sudden you can't do that stuff. You can't be hard on them. But when if you switch
Correct.
back over to the world of football, oh, you can do X, Y, and Z. It's perfectly acceptable. And I think that's part of it. And you talked about commitment and discipline. And I
Yes.
think that goes back to how we view sports in this country. It is little Johnny, little Susie's not doing X, Y, and Z well. We're going to go find someone that meets our sales pitch, the display model in the window, what we want. But we're still getting that lemon of a car, going back to your car analogy, that's not getting the miles. It's not doing what we
Correct.
want. But we were sold a line, and now they have, like you said, they pick up all these bad habits. And I
Correct.
think that is the part that's missing. Too many coaches, and I blame the US soccer model for part of this. I'm an advocate against the play practice play model, the way they teach it. And it creates lazy coaching and it creates soft coaching.
They get complacent with the amount of knowledge that they have, and they believe that certain coaches believe that because they have all these licenses and understandings of the game based on what was taught to them in a classroom environment, that's how every goalkeeper works or every goalkeeper situation is going to work, when it's actually not true at all. And it goes vice versa too. Like I've told you, like I said before, and I've told you, not every goalkeeper is going to match my system when it comes to goalkeeper training. And I get that. But my plan is to reach as much as I can to be able to, one, 100%, I ain't gonna lie, I enjoy saving money for these top level goalkeepers or intermediate goalkeepers that are trying to get to advanced. I don't do beginners because of the nature of goalkeeper training that I do. I don't want kids to be scared of what I do because they don't understand it. You know what I mean? Again, people are scared of something they don't understand.
Yes.
And that's basically why. But in terms of going back to what I said, what I mean by commitment and discipline. So it's simple. My goalkeeper training starts every Friday for 2 hours, 7 to 9 p.m. Goalkeepers are required to have a ball, properly fitted gloves, good gloves, not the ones from Walmart, like properly fitted gloves. First timers are exempt from all this because they don't know what they're going into, right? But by the second practice, they should have this. So obviously a ball, inflated, of course, or gear, goalkeeper gear, everything that they need, and plenty of water because I don't make my goalkeepers run. They don't run at all. But if anything, they'd run because obviously they've messed up, but that's just to annoy them. I do it to annoy them because when I was a young kid, it annoyed me as a heavy set guy to be running the field. And I told them the same field that we practice on, which is at Obanding Middle School here in Garland, is the same field I would run when I would be in trouble. So I did it when you were young. So can't tell me I didn't do this, right? Anything my goalkeepers do, I've done it in the past. So there's that. So obviously having that, making sure their gear is there and showing up on time. My program is free. However, time is something that I charge. So my time there is important. So if I get there at 7 and I'm already set up and you get there 7:15, 7:25, first time I ain't gonna say anything, but if it's constant, I'm gonna ask you and your goalkeeper that this will be the last time I'm training them. But you're gonna have to find a different trainer because that's the discipline that I expect for you. If I'm here at a certain time, I expect your child to be here at a certain time. I expect your child to come and try. When he's training with me, he needs to try. If he's not going to try, pick up your stuff and leave. I've done that to several keepers, and I'm not ashamed of it. Parents were not even upset. They're like, "Oh, coach, we didn't mean to waste your time." Nope, you didn't. The goalkeeper came here with the mindset that they wanted to try, but they broke down. They can't do it. This is obviously not their style. This is not something that's going to work out for them. Okay, that's fine. I get it, coach. I had another goalkeeper, a goalkeeper that came through that their dad was the coach for them for a long time and taught them goalkeeper. She was a girl. She lasted 15 minutes. She's tried the drills, and when I would correct her, she would roll her eyes at me. My goalkeepers know how I am, and they literally told her, "I would not do that. That is not something you want to do." And they're like, "We can teach you what he's trying to teach you, but you got to try." I told her, "Look, listen, I'm not even going to play this. I would like for you to go ahead, grab your stuff. You're more than welcome to leave. I don't think this is going to work out between you and me. You're used to being taught a certain way, and this obviously is not going to work out for you." The mom was embarrassed. The mom said, "Oh, I'm so sorry." I said, "Well, she's coached for her dad for a very long time. She expected to be coddled, and I can't do that here. If she messes up, I got to let her know, hey, that was terrible. Don't do that again." But when I tell you that's terrible, you expect what? For me to tell you why it was terrible. And I did just that. And she didn't like the response. She expected that, "Oh, okay, I'll just try harder next time." I'm like, "No, don't try harder to do that same mistake because it's going to get worse. Stop doing that altogether." You know, you put a stop there right there and then. So they were gone. So I push big on the parents that the way I train them is the way they're going to behave in all aspects of their youth club level. They're going to come in confident because as a goalkeeper coach, you have to have that. You got to be a confident coach. You got to be a confident player too. And if you got to remember, the player is an image of their coach. So if I'm a confident coach and I understand what I'm teaching and I'm telling your goalkeeper what they need to be doing and they're trying their hardest and they're coming in with that energy and attitude, they're going to go out there and win. You know, they're going to win for their club. They're going to do their best. They're going to go out there and understand their position and talk to the defensive line, be vocal. All these things come full circle when you come to my training, but they have to stay for the 2 hours. They have to show up on time. They have to not miss more than one training in a month because there's 4 weeks in a month. So that's one Friday there. Unless something happens, I never really cancel on Fridays. All of 2023, I canceled four times. All of 2023, I canceled four times. Four times. And recently, I haven't canceled once, even with the rain, because I find ways to get money out of my own pocket, or the parents put money together, and we rent out a 2-hour training session at Soccer Box, which is like 180. It ain't cheap. But when you have 12 to 14 goalkeepers, they all come together, you 180 divided by 12 to 14, and that's all you pay, $20 for 2 hours for high level, intense training from a coach that's been playing the the position for over 12 years and actually cares for your child and not your pockets, it's a no-brainer to me. I'm taking that.
It's an easy one.
Yeah. It's an easy choice for some of us, right? Not all goalkeepers. Like I said, everything's different. I understand there's different levels of coaches out there. And to be honest, I'm still learning from a lot of these other goalkeeper coaches. There's some stuff I don't do well, and there's some stuff I do well. But I emphasize on the good things, so that overshadows the things that I have to work on, because that's going to come at a later time. I'm not perfect. I can't sit here and tell you that I'm perfect when I'm not. But is my ability to understand that I'm not perfect as a coach is what makes me the perfect coach for these goalkeepers that are at an advanced high level, because the mistakes I did, it's not going to happen with them, because they're going to focus and understand that what I did not work out. Why should I repeat what Coach Alex did? It's not going to work out for me. So I need to stop doing what he's saying, because obviously it didn't work out for him. It's not going to work out for me.
I think a lot of that comes, honestly, from parents. I don't think it comes from kids, especially at a young age. I think from maybe, even I guess I should rephrase that. I don't think, even at young ages, I think it still comes from the parents. I don't think it comes from the players, because if you're teaching the proper principles and the proper techniques and having expectations, and not just standard expectation, high expectation of players, I think that's where kids get frustrated, because then the parents get frustrated because the kids can't execute it. And the one thing I have learned recently talking to a mental toughness coach is she talked heavily on visualizing what you're doing. And if you can't see it in your mind, you're doing it, you physically can't do it then. And I think that's hard for athletes to understand. Like, if I can't imagine myself diving in this manner, having both my feet straight up in the air, like how the goalkeeper's dive is a certain dive, and it's phenomenal to watch, watching them go completely horizontal very quickly and diving for the ball. If they can't see it in their mind, how are they supposed to do it physically? And I think some of those limitations are set by bad coaching. Coaches want these little robots to do everything, and if they don't have the chance in their mind to see it and visualize it, how are they supposed to do it? And I think by having expectations and having the demands of these players to being able to do it, and I don't know how you get to the point for them to make those proper dives. I've seen goalkeeping training before, and they physically lift up the players and help them move so they understand the motion that they need to do, especially at the younger ages, especially if they're new to it.
Yeah. That, so what that's makes the mine, thing. It's,
go ahead.
Sorry to interrupt you, but what makes mine different is that my training is geared to intermediate and advanced, and most of these goalkeepers already have an idea of what to do. So. Right. And it makes my job easier, because I don't have to spend so much time on the body movement and the basics. So it cuts down time for me teaching the basics. If I have to, I'll teach it. But I've told my goalkeepers, this is something you should already do on your own. It is something that, as goalkeepers, your craft, you have to do it on your own, because not everybody can do it for you. And that helps so much, because these goalkeepers are really committed to my system. They do try. So that helps me a lot. Now, when we go back to this whole thing about goalkeeper camps and trainings and everybody else's different style, there is one thing that harms a goalkeeper more than anything. And that's the coaches of a club that believe they know the position, and during games will tell goalkeepers how to do the job that another coach has already told them how to do. And parents doing the same thing, because remember, your child is going to listen to you more than a coach. You've been there since they were born. It is in their brain, they're wired to listen to mom and dad. Very few are going to tell you to, sorry for the word, to F off. You know what I mean? And if they do, it's not going to be a happy home. But if I dig just a little deep into this, is that the coach is just as problematic as it is the parent when it's to develop these goalkeepers. My parents, my goalkeeper parents, finally understand that the only time you ever talk to the goalkeeper is after the game, not at halftime, not anything like that. They need to be focused. They know they messed up. No goalkeeper goes in there and goes and just smiles and puts a finger up in the air and looks at you and goes, "I'm doing great." No, they're not going to do that. If they're doing that, they're just too happy go lucky, and that's just, you know, a little weird to me. Now I gotta check with you and see if you really are okay. But because of this, it makes the job harder for a lot of the goalkeeper coaches out there to be able to fix the issues technically that they have, either whether it be footwork, handwork, because the goalkeeper wants to do what's being taught, but the coach only cares for two things: blocking the shot, either passing the ball or kicking the ball downfield as fast as they can for a counterattack. At the youth age, as they get older, it changes a little bit. They want the coach to do a, they want, sorry, the coach wants the goalkeeper to do great diving and constantly direct the team from the back and come out when he says, "Goalie, come out." And I get what they're trying to do. They want their goalkeeper to be ready for everything. But when you do that, you run into the situation where they have to choose whether they do what you're asking them to do or do what goalkeeper coach Alex or goalkeeper coach Montaigne or, you know, Cooney or all these other coaches told them to do. And at the youth level, this does matter. As you get older, as an adult, and your coach or whoever is telling you to come, "Nah, I'm not listening to you, bro. Sorry. I'm going to ignore you. I'm 30 years old. You don't tell me how to do my job." But in the youth level, yes, I will agree with all these goalkeeper coaches out there where it does matter. Yeah, telling that to them is a big no, because they're going to listen to you. They're not going to pay attention to what's around them. They really aren't. Now, my goalkeepers, I've already explained this from the day one when they started training with me. Ignore your parents. They don't know what they're doing. And my parents all just nodded their heads because they all watch the training and they all sit on the, and they put their lawn chairs and everything. Not a single one of them said a single thing bad to me. They're like, "I hear you, coach. Yeah, you guys have know nothing. You bring them to me because I know the position. If you guys knew it, you wouldn't be here, you know, with your child for me to teach them, you know?" And I think that is the biggest problem we have in this position, is that all these other club coaches don't have a goalkeeper coach. So they'll try to do their best to see what was maybe in a video or whatever, and they don't know how to, I guess, show it or break it down. And the goalkeeper picks up those bad habits. And where do you think they go? They bring them to me or any other goalkeeper coach. So now we have to get rid of that bad habit. But then those bad habits don't go away, because why? Because the freaking club coach is still doing it, or whoever coach it is still doing the same thing. So that puts a big dent in progress. But we can all change that if we all stick to our own, which is weird, lane. To be honest, as a goalkeeper coach, I'm not going to tell, it's not my job to tell the goalkeeper where to move the ball when it's time to spread the field and this and that. It's something that we teach goalkeepers, but I don't do it as often because I already know their clubs are teaching them this. So I don't spend too much time on this. I spend time on the things to me personally are very important. And I think footwork, handwork, and positioning, those three things right there are the most important things in North Texas soccer. And youth soccer that needs to be taught right now to goalkeepers. The flashy dives, the stuff on YouTube from the pros or from players that are just very, you know, very good, I would say, because they can do all these nice, nifty acrobatic saves, is exactly what some of these parents want to see their goalkeeper do. But you can get by just teaching them to hold on to the ball, waste time when they have to waste time because they're up 1-0. And it's only 5 minutes left to go. These are the things I teach my goalkeepers. I put it in their heads that these are the things that I wish people would teach me when I was younger. But now that I'm older, yeah, I'm going to teach your son to waste time. And he's going to look good doing it. It's going to piss off the other team. But guess what? You're winning. Isn't that what you want? Isn't that what you paid all your money to do? Isn't that what the biggest mantra in North Texas soccer is? Win, win, win. I sound like Al Davis. Win, baby, win, right? That's what you wanted. Why are you upset that I'm teaching your goalkeeper to be a bit arrogant about it? And the other team ain't gonna come hug him when he loses. I'm
right.
sorry, but one mom is gonna go home happy and one mom's gonna go home unhappy. You know, listen, Charles Barkley said it best. That's one of his quotes. One mom is gonna go home happy, another mom is not. I'm sorry. That's just how this game works, and that's the reason North Texas soccer is such a competitive sport, because the parents make it that way. If I can teach your child, your goalkeeper, to do those three things, handle the ball well, hold on to it, be in position for the right time to make the right save, understand how to move his feet to be able to get to the ball when making that save, I'm making a goalkeeper ready for the next step, which is maybe a different goalkeeper that knows, a goalkeeper coach that knows more than me. Because again, I told you, I know what I know, but there's other people that know what they know because they've been through some stuff. They know their stuff, and I've seen it. I can't sit here and tell you how much I've learned from Ernesto Garcia. He's the guy that I get all my teachings from. I do my best to copy whatever he does, but those are the things that build a character on a goalkeeper to be able just to do the basics and the stuff that coaches want. All this extra stuff, it's a waste of time right now at this level. When they get older and become adults, then they can indulge themselves in trying to copy what Donnarumma does when he does an upper 90 save. They're not going to encounter that every single time. I doubt there's five players on the other team that can bend the ball at an upper 90 range. That kid's going to be like, oh, well, I did what coach asked me. I dove at it. Okay, but you were off time, man. What do you mean? Oh, so I had to put my feet that way. You see what I'm talking about? Because I'm teaching footwork and I'm teaching understanding how to get onto the ball. That's how you make the save, not just diving at the ball. And I think that's the biggest problem that we have right now is coaches not helping the goalkeeper coach by telling the goalkeeper to do it one way, but the goalkeeper coach has to come around next week and fix whatever that coach told that goalkeeper.
How do I phrase this? As a parent, my kid plays the field, and my wife and I have a very heavily conversation about goalkeepers because we think it is, one, it's the loneliest position on the pitch, and two, it's the hardest position on the pitch. You're the savior of the game, or you are the end-all, be-all, horrible person because you let a goal in. And
there's always a backup goalkeeper as well, so there's always that too, because in most teams right now, North Texas don't have a backup goalkeeper.
No,
it's just one.
It's just one. And as a parent that has a field player, it's like we try to teach our son to have compassion for him. Because everything rides on how well he blocks the ball, how well he does, and accept responsibility when you miss a tackle and the goal goes in. It's your fault. It's no one else's. It's not the goalie. On 9v9 or 11v11, however many it is you're playing, if it's 11v11, it went through 10 other players before it got in that goal. So whose fault really is it? And we've laid this into our kid, our son, and as a field player, because at the end of the day, it is his job to make sure the goalie doesn't have to work crazy hard the whole match. It's not fair for him. The only person that should be working hard in that match is the other team's goalie because the defense is failing. And I think parents have to understand that coming in from field players. Now, as a goalkeeper parent, I have a friend that is a goalkeeper parent, and I can't imagine the struggle as a parent and the anguish he goes through watching his son, because the ups and downs, starting, not starting, and beating kids in practice possibly and not starting, and why. And it is what it is at the end of the day. And the kid just has to continue going through it. And just because you're doing great in training doesn't mean it's going to be fair. And unfortunately, it's a hard lesson to learn at a young age. And I feel like goalkeepers learn it faster and harder than anyone else on the field.
It's funny you mentioned that. I have a goalkeeper that I won't name for privacy reasons and basically because of the club they're still in under contract. And I won't name the team either for privacy reasons too. The coach told this player that the reason that they believe they shouldn't be playing the goalkeeper position, they should be playing something else, is because of their height. The parent told me that. They messaged me that. And I literally laughed. And I told him, you need to find a break in that contract and get him out. I would have literally went off on that coach because some of the top goalkeepers in the world Fabian Barthez being one of them. The other goalkeeper being Conejo Perez, Oscar Perez, who played for Cruz Azul and Pachuca and in Mexico. Another one being the short guy, one of the best that ever played the game, and Jorge Campos. All these guys were 5'6", 5'7". And the kid's still about 13 years old. He's going to grow. He's actually growing. I told her he's going to be about my height when he turns 18, which is, it's okay. It's a little under, maybe a little short, but it doesn't matter. His positioning and his footwork and handwork, which are the three pillars that I teach and under my Aztec training on Fridays, has him playing in a very high level. I think he played a little background. He played a tournament with the team that does allow him to play goalkeeper as a guest player. I think they played four games. It was like a showcase. He allowed one goal all four games. And the goal, they sent me video of it, was an amazing shot. I mean, he did my footwork. He read the play. He did everything I would do as a goalkeeper because he's seen me play. He copies my vision. He tries to copy the way I move my feet, which is the funniest things that I've ever seen. I never seen a kid copy my style of goalkeeping and reacted the same way I react when someone shoots the ball at me over the top. But granted, I'm 6'2". He dove at it wildly and did his best to get to it. He still missed it quite a bit. But when I saw him do that, I was like, oh, this kid is such a great visual learner. He did exactly what I told him he should do in a situation like that. And he almost still got it. It just wasn't enough. And I told him, Mom, don't feel sad for him. That was just a well-placed ball and it's going to happen. But for him to play four games and only allow one goal, and each, what is it, each half around that age group is what, 30 minutes, 35 minutes? That's a long time without
You,
getting scored on.
yeah, you 9 and under is 30 minutes.
And I think he's 13.
So
So,
13, they might be playing 35 minutes.
yeah, 35-minute halves. So 35-minute halves, and you play four games and you only allowed one goal. That's a lot of minutes. Without allowing a goal, that's way below anybody would. And I told him, well, she says they played in a lower bracket. They're a team that just went from select to, from rec to select, and they have decent players. And I told him, you need to put him there. It's going to develop him in so much. Which brought you back to that point you made earlier in our talk, which was, what do you do when the team is, one player is outgrowing the team, or you have a star player in a team where there's just regular 10 other players, right? So this is a great example of that because you have a great goalkeeper that's just undersized that needs a home. And I told the mom, hey, use this opportunity when the contract runs out, go sign with that club because that coach wants your son to be the goalkeeper. They don't see height. They see his IQ of the game is there. And that coach gave me praise. They told her that he's just so quick getting up and reading the field. He wasn't doing this before. And he goes, yeah, it's Coach Alex puts it in his head that he can't just dive at everything. He has to make sure if he's going to dive or hold his ground and wait for the ball to see where the ball is going to go,
Right. I think that's hard. I think it's hard for parents to understand. I feel most parents, at least to be honest, most people don't grow up with a soccer background here. They grew up with a
Right.
football background or another background. So they don't understand the game coming into it. And only understanding they get is by watching, see Dallas or English Premier League or Liga One or the leagues in Mexico. I can't name all of them. And it's only by watching them. And that's what I'm looking for. It's not a detailed understanding. It is a very rough understanding of the position. I think the easiest position to understand is a forward. They don't have to have technical enough forward, a striker. They don't have to have great technical skills, foot skills. All their job is to put the ball in the goal. That's only the thing they get paid for, and that's all the parents want. And
And
I think
it's a dying breed. There's changes coming to that position. So I
yes.
think eventually it's gonna age out. And I'm happy that it is, but it brings a situation where players don't wanna play defense. They just wanna play offense all the time because that's how much emphasis North Texas soccer coaches put on offense. And
Yes.
me, I'm a very defensive minded coach.
And
Obviously, I'm a
that's
goalkeeper.
yes, you're probably the opposite of that Facebook meme of coaches. It's, oh, the forward and the midfield's shot on goal, and the coach, the guy's jumping up and down, ecstatic. And the defender misses a tackle, and the goalkeeper saves the ball, but ends up being a corner, and he's like kicking the ground and going through like the complete opposite. And as a parent, this is the conversation I've asked a lot of coaches, is like, where is your view on finding midfielders and defense? And I go, what are you doing to develop that? And they go, what do you mean? It's like, I see players that are coming in that are all midfields and forwards. What about defense? Like, what are you going to do? As a parent that has a kid that is, in my opinion, midfield profile right now, that is pigeonholed playing defense, unfortunately, because he was taught how to play defense very well. And he just wants to play the game. And the coaches know that he dictates this, not us, that Landon wants to play. And so if it means playing defense and playing defense, but as parents, we get frustrated because why are you building teams? And this is in the past. And we're on a new team, so we're moving forward. So we'll see what happens here. Why are you bringing in more offensive players when we really need defense? And it's comical. And I had this conversation with Raymond. So if he goes, if you really want your kid to go play college soccer, teach them to be phenomenal defenders and midfielders, because forwards and midfielders are dime a dozen. But if you can get them to be a great center back or a great left back, they're going to have a chance for a college career. And I think you're right. I mean, every parent wants that phenomenal goal scoring Gucci purse player and not.
And that's the same for goalkeepers. They want their goalkeeper to be the all-star, the one that they can say wears the captain armband. And what's funny, I should mention, is that on my profile picture on Facebook, I'm carrying the captain armband, but I didn't become a captain till the age of 28, 27 years old. I'm 30 now, and I've been coaching forever, and the adult teams that I will play in wouldn't set me as captain. In all honesty, I'm a hot-headed person. I'm not gonna lie to you. I'm a very hot-headed coach because of the way that I believe things are, and I had to put myself in a position where I was getting kicked out of the games where I was supposed to play, because I still play. I'm 30 years old. I still play, and my 04s and my 05s are the team are the players that I coached when they were kids, but they've grown up now, and I joined the Spectrum. And it got to the point that I was getting kicked out because I took it personal when full-blown adults would harm my players, because I know them since they were kids, man. So my dad mode kicked in, as I would call it. And as a goalkeeper, man, I'm 6'2" to 35. I mean, to a certain point, I ended up almost doing the same thing to a guy that like 6'4" at 235 pounds. He looked at me like, "You really want to do this?" Like, I'm definitely gonna do this, man. I'm not going to allow you to do what you just did again. You know what I mean? But the respect that I got from that guy after the game was said, I mean, I got kicked out, but he comes to me, I'm like, "There has to be a reason why you did all that." I said, "I've been coaching these kids since they were like 10. That explains everything." He just gave me a pat on the back and said, "Hey, man, I apologize." I said, "No, it's all good, man. It's my fault. I should know better." He's like, "No, that's passion right there." He literally just looked at me and said, "For you to be coaching and still be the keeper, and it's a 30-year-old guy playing with 18 to 17-year-old kids. That's insane. You watch them grow up, and now you're playing together in the same field." I'm like, "Yeah, I'm teaching them the game that I grew up playing, and basically now I'm on the same. I share the same field, and I used to be on the sideline."
Hello, and I hope you all have enjoyed this week's episode of Chat by the Pitch. Coach Alex had a lot to say and a lot to share and didn't hold back. And this is what I really like about him as a coach, as a person. He is willing to ruffle some feathers to get his point across and try to be funny and sarcastic, but also being serious at the same time. We always don't have to agree with this, but he has some valid points and he has some great points he shares in the next two episodes. So I hope you enjoyed this week's episode. Hey everyone, if you guys have enjoyed this podcast, have enjoyed what I've been trying to do, the messages that I'm putting out there, please give me some ratings, some stars on all the podcast sites that you listen to this on. Give me a review, share this, share with others. The more I can make this grow, the more I can continue doing this. I'm really trying to make a difference in our soccer community. So I hope you guys have enjoyed all this. And until next time, I'll see you at the pitch.